Welcome to the Milaha 2011 Financial Results Conference Call. The call today is being hosted by QNB Financial Services from Doha, Qatar. From QNBFS, we have Keith Whitney, the Head of Sales, and Bobby Sarkar, the Head of Research, to discuss Milaha's 2011 financial results. We have Mohamed Tayem, SVP Finance and Investments, AK Ghosh, VP Finance, and Sami Shtayyeh, VP Financial Planning and Analysis. With this, I will turn the call to Keith Whitney. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Camilla, very much. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Keith Whitney from Qatar National Bank Financial Services. Firstly, I would like to thank everyone for being on the call today, for those investors here in Doha, those investors dialing in from the region, and those investors dialing in from Europe and North America. We very much appreciate you spending our time with us today. We're going to break the call down into four parts. Mohamed Tayem is going to come on and give some opening comments about Milaha and provide a little bit of perspective and overview of the organizational realignment and rebranding that took place in Q4 2011. We'll then specifically have Sami come on and give some financial results and performance for 2011. Mohamed will then come back on and give us a perspective for the way forward in 2012. Then we'll go ahead and open up the call for Q&A for the latter half. With that, I'll go ahead and turn it over to Mohamed Tayem from Milaha. Mohamed?
Yeah. Thank you, Keith, for the introduction. I also would like to thank everyone who's participating on the call from everywhere. I'll start by a quick overview about the year 2011 for the company. As you know, this 2011 has been a difficult year in general. Some describe it as a roller coaster, really, especially for the shipping industry. I think we've managed throughout this year, despite the continued depressed rates in the shipping industry and the depressed environment. I think the oversupply in the market continued to put pressure on these rates. We've seen unfortunate events in this year took place throughout the year by bankruptcies and insolvencies that happened to a number of shipping companies, a number of actually big players in the shipping industry. Fortunately to Milaha was not overly exposed to the volatility of the ocean transportation industry in 2011. I think that due to the following reasons. The container business that we have is generally a container feedering business, predominantly in the region, and is not exposed in the same way where liner operators are exposed. We are, to a certain extent, we're slightly protected and outperform those operators. I think we don't have a huge exposure to the tanker business because we've reduced our exposure on the asset ownership a few years ago. We have also very limited exposure to the dry shipping business, which was one of the weakest performers in the market segments. We do have an exposure to the LNG business directly through ownership of the JVs that we have and through our ownership in Nakilat. That generally is a good performer in difficult times because of the contractual nature of those LNG vessels. The LPG business has been actually a better performer this year than expected initially at the beginning of the year. Our local and regional business generally has witnessed some drop in volumes. Fortunately, that was overcome by some of the segments who reported better profits than the previous years. It wasn't as fortunate for some of the other business segments who had to report lower profits and in some one maybe case or two reported losses. The offshore support industry did not see a material improvement in higher rates. Having said that, we have continued to grow our business regionally and through expanding the fleet in 2011. Organizationally, the company has undertaken a comprehensive effort to review the entire group's operation and redefine Milaha's long-term strategy with an ultimate objective to improve performance. The company has successfully introduced a new vision and mission. long-term strategies, governance frameworks, organization structures, company brands, business processes, IT systems, and personnel management. In order to do so, we also had to pull in some outside specialists as necessary to ensure changes were in line with the best practices in the industry. To leverage the capabilities across the group and improve the focus on customer while rationalizing resources, we recognized our units by the individual business pillars. Additionally, we created a new corporate entity to focus on facilitating the group's strategic direction and implementing and managing policies across the units. Within the corporate entity, we centralized the individual support services from each business unit to form a shared services unit rationalizing resources and are now in the process of integrating and upgrading the supporting IT infrastructure. We've also been introducing a new governance framework. A new governance framework that is in line with our structure. We have also modified our governance bodies and delegation of authorities to cater to our new operating model and represent the best interests of shareholders. We strongly believe that the new governance framework will allow us to make better decisions in a more streamlined manner while maintaining appropriate controls as a company. And I think now I would like to leave the floor to Sami Sayed to walk you through the financial numbers.
Thanks, Mohammed. My name is Sami Sayed, and I'm the Vice President of Financial Planning and Analysis. I'm going to start off with essentially going through some of the slides that we posted to our website regarding our 2011 performance. The first slide is your typical bar graph. First off, the reason we didn't go back any further in time, you can only see 2010 and 11, was essentially because in 2010, after we acquired Qatar Shipping, looking at results prior to that were really really skewed in nature. You can see that there was a slight increase in revenue year over year, but drops in operating profit and net profit. The next slide really shows the full P&L with comparatives versus 2010. Along with a variance column between the 2 years. You can see that our bottom line fell from 1.1 billion riyals to 713 million riyals for an unfavorable change of approximately 390 million. What I want to highlight here is that the majority of this drop, close to 330 million, was from non-operating income and expenses. If you look at the detail within the non-operating income and expenses, you can see that approximately $530 million was tied to just two non-cash accounting-related items tied to our acquisition of Qatar Shipping in 2010. So basically, in 2010, we showed favorability in those amounts, whereas in 2011, that obviously didn't recur. Partially offsetting that unfavorability, also in 2010, we incurred 177 million impairment on some of our vessels. Essentially, the market value of some of the vessels that we had on our was less than our book value, and that also didn't recur in 2011. The last item that I would really consider as unusual or infrequent is an impairment we took on our available for sale investment portfolio in 2011, in the amount of 177 million. All those what I would call non-operational items really muddied up our comparative results. If you look at the next slide, you can see a more normalized view of things. We've essentially excluded those unusual and infrequent items. Overall, looking at the numbers this way, you can see that our net profit is essentially flat year over year. We obviously have many operations, and some went up, some went down, but I'm going to try to give you a high-level view on the main aspects of our year-over-year financial movements at this point in time. So if you look at this, really our operating profit dropped by just over 59 million riyals, and I'm going to start with the easy variances first. So you can see that our rent expense went up by $11 million. For those that of you that have kept a close eye on the company and what we do and what where we're going with things, you'll know that in 2011 we moved to our new headquarters, a nice tower in prime real estate in the country, and that really bumped up our rent expense. Depreciation and amortization went up by $31 million, and this was really tied to some dry docking expenses related to vessels, as well as we had some new depreciation on some new vessels with one of our subsidiaries, mainly the offshore unit. On the revenue side, we show an increase of 15 million riyals. In 2010, there was approximately 65 million riyals built into the revenue number for what I would call an infrequent dividend payment from one of our LNG joint venture partners. If you add back that 65 million, you end up with a year-over-year revenue increase of 80 million riyals. And the reason why I'm stating this is because it's important to note that that essentially explains our increase in salaries, wages, and benefits, as well as operating supplies and expenses, which unfavorably went up by 51 million and 11 million respectively. The last category within operating profit was the other operating expenses, which showed a favorable variance of 29 million riyals. And much of that had to do with lower third-party consulting fees, which in large part were incurred during the Qatar Shipping acquisition. On the non-operating side of things, the large item there which sticks out is really the 47 million riyal positive variance under our share results of associates. And the vast majority of this is coming from our 30% share of Nakhilat. Financing costs showed an improvement of 16 million riyals, which was really due to the combination of repayment of loans as well as refinancing on better terms. Those are essentially the big items. With that, I'll turn it over back over to Mohammed to go over the outlook for 2012 and beyond. And then after that, we can take some questions if you have any. Thanks.
Thank you, in that presentation as well, we've inserted a slide to show you our new strategic business unit structure. Just in case you haven't seen that before, and to tell you that we will be reporting in the future on the basis of this structure in terms of our segment analysis. And I think we are hoping with that would give the users of the financials a better ability to understand the performance of each business segment, and maybe perhaps try to have a better ability to ascribe the right value to each business segment. We're starting that in March. It's going to improve as we go. And I think if you've noticed as well, we've alluded to how much we're trying to upgrade our IT systems. That would be much easier, of course, in 2013, but for the benefit of our shareholders and the parties interested in our financials, we are implementing that in 2012. Go back to the outlook. I think just to try and give you some high level of potential developments or potential outlook for the company. I think on the offshore side, we are looking to grow our business organically and non-organically. We're trying to expand the offshore business geographically and also to expand this business through the product range as well. So that's on the offshore side. On the ocean transportation, petchem, and gas, we're looking to expand the commercial management capability. We're also looking to increase our exposure on the asset side, but we have to say that the timing is really important on when that step happens. Um,
I think the LNG business, beyond what you've seen in the news recently on the increasing our stake in two LNG carriers, we're not anticipating any major expansions in that business. On the maritime and logistics business, we're also expecting to grow organically and non-organically, especially on the logistics business. We're looking to grow our business in the region, and as well as expanding our product range and solution offering. The focus really of the rest of the businesses within the maritime and logistics pillar will be mainly on improving efficiencies and optimizing the operation, really beefing up and gearing for the expected growth in the local economy, increased government spending for capital projects and the influx of goods and people. The harbor assistance business, this was a major development. We've contracted the building of a new 19 vessels for the harbor assistance business, which is in the Mitaid port, and the contract is with Qatar Petroleum. This was in the press before. On the capital business, the vast majority of the financial investment exposure is really today in the local is local. This may represent a further exposure of the investors to the local economy and to Qatar. I think maybe 2 points to elaborate on here. There are no further expansions, further injections in the financial investments this year, apart from the funds already available in that reserve bucket for the company. Probably it's also worth mentioning that the company uses the vast majority of the dividend income to support its dividend payout to its shareholders. In the real estate, we've, for the benefit of our shareholders and for transparency and for the users of the financials to understand values in each business segment, we've retained the services of a third-party advisor to provide us with a valuation of our real estate portfolio, and that's been disclosed as a note in our financial statements and has not been reflected in the value, in the book value of real estate. Because it's going to trigger a large capital gain, and the amount of the valuation was 3 billion riyals. It's also available in our financials. It's worth mentioning that the the majority of these assets are leased out on long-term basis, there are some real estate developments. It's worth mentioning that these real estate developments will be financed from within the real estate business and no capital injections from any rights issue or from the business will be directed to fund our real estate developments. Mainly the real estate developments are in the logistics and industrial developments. I think again, just to reiterate, we will be reporting in 2012 based on the new pillar structure. I think this is something that you can look for in 2012 in the first quarter. And also, we've made a critical recruitment for a very senior position that was vacant for some time for the company, the EVP Maritime and Logistics, who used to be a senior executive in one of the large shipping companies worldwide. And he hopefully will be joining us on May 1st. And by that, I conclude the outlook, and I think I would open the door for some questions, if any.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself by pressing star 2. Once again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We have already your first question.
Camille, just while we're queuing up, we have a call here from Bobby Sarkar on the line.
Okay, pardon me, can you repeat your query? I will take the first question.
Yeah, Camille, we have a call, we have a question now from Bobby Sarkar.
Okay, you can take it first, so yeah.
Hi, this is Bobby Sarkar from QNBFS. Thank you for taking my question. I just wanted to ask, you spoke about rebranding and your decision to realign your business into six pillars. Could you just expand a little bit about what steps you're taking on an operational level in your key businesses, given your new strategy? Thank you.
We've reorganized the company on a six-pillar structure, six business units. This process will be completed over time. Having said that, from a strategic management of the business, we actually have the structure in place. We have the governance structure in place. We have the reporting lines in place. And we have the level of independence also in place through the introduction of the new governance and authority matrices. There will be further implementations of those new structures in terms of further implementation of the legal and the financial work that has to do with completing the separation of these and separate legal entities. That will actually be a process that may take a period well beyond a year. And in terms of processes and that has to go within each business unit, that's something that's already started. A lot of new processes have been introduced to those business units, and those will be further developed as we go.
Okay, thank you.
I will now take the question from Kartik Sankaran from BlackRock. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for the strategic overview. I just have a few questions. I guess the first and most obvious one is, could you just perhaps elaborate a bit more on the rationale for the planned rights issue and the planned share buyback, the thinking behind those, and as well as any information you can disclose on the intended timing of those, and with respect to the rights issue, how do you expect to deploy the capital, or what the planned use of proceeds are?
Sure. Let me take the last issue first. The rationale behind the rights issue is we think that there's a good market momentum for reinvesting into the shipping industry. Yes, it has been depressed for some time. We're trying to time our cycle right. We think there could be a lot of interesting business opportunities that could come up in the next in this year and next year, in the different segments of the business. While we do have a relatively sound financial position, we think that we will need further funding to get to the critical sizes of the different business segments in terms of our whether acquisitions of companies or assets. So the flows of those funds will be directed to expanding our core business in the maritime and logistics, in the petchem and gas pillars, and in petchem and gas pillars and the offshore. The timing of the rights issue will be decided. We'll have much better clarity on probably on our next call once we do the first quarter announcement, which will happen subsequent to the AGM, to the General Assembly, which we will need the approval of the shareholders on the rights issue. I would say May is when the rights issue is going to happen. On your other questions on the buyback, yes, I understand this is not a very usual thing for corporates to do. But I think if you think of the company where there are different buckets of funding, you have a reserve financial and real estate assets that are considered to be more of a reserve portfolio. This has helped the company tremendously during the last 3 years in maintaining a sound financial position, ability to source funding at very reasonable rates, and ability to
continue to grow and expand its businesses in the different areas, while other companies worldwide have actually either went out of the business facing insolvencies or facing bankruptcies. Yes, I understand this is not a very usual model, but the board of the company feels very strongly about keeping a reserve portfolio. The rationale of the share purchase is that we believe that we, at the moment, based on the valuation of the company and the alternatives that the company has, may deploy some of its investment portfolio on a temporary basis on a share repurchase to support the valuation of its stock price and to demonstrate the confidence we have in it.
When is the share buyback likely to be executed? Is there a specific time frame which you have in mind, which the company has in mind?
Yes, we will announce that, but I can safely say that it cannot happen. It cannot coincide with the rights issue. It had to happen subsequently.
Okay, thank you. And I just the second question I had really was just on the accounts. I just wanted to understand if I look at the equity of the company, the fair value reserve is about $3.1 billion, which is substantial compared to the available for sale portfolio. It's highly unusual for any company. I'm just wondering, you know, what's driving the large fair value reserve. I mean, the company has $3.1 billion of fair value reserves against the available for sale portfolio $3.3 billion.
Yeah. The reason for that, I would say, because the cost of those investments in our books is much lower than the market value. And since we don't report them as held for trading, we can only report them as per the book value, and the difference will have to go to the fair value reserve.
Okay. That's very clear. I mean, so this pertains to available for sale investments. So this is the surplus of market value over book value of available for sale investments, or does it? Does the fair value reserve? Is it? You know, does it pertain to any other part of the company's investment securities or other holdings?
Investment in what? I'm sorry.
The fair value reserve. Does it just reflect the surplus of the market value of the available for sale investments against the book value, or does it reflect any other surplus of any other investments the company has? Or
It's mainly two components. It's the $1.8 billion is attributed to the AFS portfolio. And Nakilat, as an associate company, is 1.155.
Okay, thank you.
Which, in nature, they're both listed securities on the Qatar Exchange stock market. But one of them is treated as an associate, and the other ones are as available for sale investments.
Okay, thanks.
We will now take our next question, coming from Redwan Ahmed from EFG Hermes. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking the call. And apologies in advance for the noise quality. I'm calling from a service station somewhere in the middle of a desert. I just have a few questions. In terms of your growth plans, can you just elaborate a bit more about which logistics sector that you are looking to expand? Give us a bit of a feel for exactly what you're trying to do there. And in terms of the rights issue, if it's going to happen in May, any idea how quickly that could possibly be deployed? Could that be in 2012, or would that be beyond? And just on the outlook for 2012, if you did not make any acquisition or if there was nothing added to the portfolio, would you expect to see a year-on-year growth in your core business? This is excluding investments. I'm talking about the core business here.
To go your back to your first question about the logistics sector, we're looking at expanding our business, as I said, regionally and in the product offering in the logistics sector. I think logistics. We all know what logistics are. I'm not sure how can I elaborate more on that without divulging any specific details on any specific.
About two years ago, you were granted some land, and there was talk about building a logistics city on a particular piece of land. I think it was 500,000 square meters. Is it like a logistics city there? Is that what you're referring to?
No, that's part of our real estate expansion, and that's different. We are looking to expand our logistics offerings, for example, in providing more and more 3PL services in and outside Qatar, and we will utilize the development of this asset to provide that, in addition to other supply chain kind of services that we can provide to our clients. And this may happen organically or by acquisitions.
Okay, and the deployment of the proceeds?
Deployment of the proceeds of the rights issue, that's going to go for the core business. It's going to go for acquiring whether companies or assets in the ocean transportation or related supply chain businesses, offshore and or logistics.
So I just want to ask how quickly do you think you'll deploy them? Because obviously, the longer the cash sits on the balance sheet, your returns get dragged, don't they? Your return on your equity. So if you had an idea of how quickly you'd like to deploy the proceeds from the rights issue.
The timing of the different segments may be different. Some of which would be more imminent than others. But if we didn't feel that we needed the funding to be in place for undertaking those acquisitions, we wouldn't have had asked for it. But we have to appreciate that the timing is very, very important, because if we buy an asset and it goes down by 20%, that's going to be much higher than the cost of any carry on those funds. So we're trying to time ourselves very, very, very well. And I think we were right as a company not to buy any or accumulate large assets in the last 18 months, because most of the movers who went into that space have actually lost some of the value that they put in. We're trying to be very disciplined in our investments. And I think your last question was about growth without acquisitions, right?
Yes.
That depends on which business segment, but I think anything that's related to the local or tied into the local economy is expected to grow. Expected to grow by growth in the business activity, expected to grow because of the increased government expected increased government spending on infrastructure and capital projects. And expected to grow because of the influx of people and goods to the country to be able to complete the objectives and undertake the developments that are expected.
Okay, thank you.
For some of the other businesses, the ones that are tied into the global shipping industry, we don't expect the global shipping markets to have a strong rebound this year, and hence the opportunity that we've been alluding to earlier on acquisitions. Does that answer your questions, John?
That's fine, thank you.
We will now take a question from Yubin Jose from Qatar Insurance Company. Please go ahead.
Hi. My question is something related to the port services revenue, which is kind of dropped 44% from last year. Is there any specific reason for it, or can you just give some clue on that?
Is there a question about our port operations? Why did it increase by 44%?
There is a drop. It used to be 161. one. From there, it is, there is a drop to 90 million. I'm talking about the operating revenue side.
Oh, you mean the revenues? Why did the revenues drop?
Yes.
It increased by 30 million, or 29,495. The port services, you're asking about port services, right? It improved
yes.
in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
It has improved. I'm not sure. You said it decreased, right?
Yeah, I'm in your page 23 of your report. In fact, port services shows a 90 million revenue compared to 161 million revenue in 2010.
191. I'm not sure.
Okay. I think there is a problem with that.
Yeah, it's 191. It's available on our website, the financial.
Okay. I have it from. Yes. Okay. That's fine. And can you just give some more light on the proposed logistics city? What is happening? Because it's supposed to be start working from last year, and we don't hear anything about that. Precisely, what is happening in that front? Is it the project is on a hold, or is it going to be kicked off later this year?
Actually, I'm not sure where is the. Why it was supposed to start last year. We've never really announced that the project will start in 2011. The project, the logistics facility we're building in Atamama is on track. We are building such a massive project, which require a lot of different levels of consents, planning stages, and that is... That's we're just making sure that we're developing the project in the right order and with the right stages. We've actually started some work on the site last year. We've obtained a lot of the governmental and municipal consents that we needed to take. For the avoidance of doubt, this is a real estate project. The logistics piece that's tied into that will be shown somewhere else in our numbers. The project itself is a real estate piece.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
We have now a follow-up question from Kartik Sankaran from BlackRock. Please go ahead.
Hi, I just had a follow-up question on the performance of some of the individual business segments. In particular, the commercial activities segment, I know in the past you have mentioned that the margins in the segment were depressed by inventory. I just want to understand what the outlook for the business is. I'm looking at financials, while the revenue has grown, the profitability is still very depressed. When do you see that turning around? Just on that particular segment.
Yeah, I was hoping no one would ask about that. So, look, I think I'll just leave Sammy to answer this question. He likes the commercial.
Yeah, part of the reason why you see an increase in revenue, but you see the degradation on the profit side, is because. The first half of the year, we actually sold. We offloaded some product. We took a hit on it intentionally to get it off our balance sheet. So that's why you see the drop in the profit, the drop in the margins. Going forward, the commercial sector is really it's going to be reliant on how quickly projects get off. Get off the ground here in Qatar. A lot of the commercial profits has to do with selling heavy equipment, and when projects start getting going, we sell equipment, and the numbers turn around.
Do you have any visibility? Have you already cleared all the excess inventory, and perhaps do you think we'll get back to a normalized margin this year? Because, the historical business has been very profitable. So I'm just wondering when we get back to that kind of profitability.
I can't really speak to the profitability, but I definitely think that you'll see some more typical margins, some more typical comparison between the revenue and expenses than you have in 2011. Again, the profit is really going to be driven by volume, and then that's something that is heavily reliant on how quickly some of the projects here locally in Qatar are going to take off.
Sure. And so one final question, just on Halul Offshore, given it's a significant business.
Yep.
I'm just wondering again, any guidance you can provide, an outlook for Halul Offshore, and whether you would see a renegotiation of rates with respect to contracts for the fleet.
Halul has renegotiated a number of contracts towards the end of last year, and I think Halul will continue to be a dominant player in the local market. Halul is trying to further expand its business regionally, trying to expand in the product offerings. The offshore market has not seen any high increases in the rates. There will be a combination of new businesses, renegotiated contracts. Some of it will be higher, some of it will be lower, some of it will be more on the spot, some of it will be on charter rate. It's a portfolio of different contracts, of different trades, and the company is trying to position itself very well in the market to be able to overcome such situations in the market.
But just to be clear, I mean, you mentioned that some of the contracts were renegotiated end of last year, and on balance, some were up, some were down. But broadly, can we just assume that the rates were negotiated upwards or down across the entire portfolio?
I think there were 8 renewals of contracts. I don't know the exact answer to your question. To be perfectly honest, whether all of them have been negotiated upwards or all of them have been negotiated downwards, but the company has not been operating in a large disconnect from the market rates. A lot of it was in line with the market anyway, because a lot of these contracts, they're not 5 or 6 years old, they're 1 or 2 or 3 years old. And the offshore industry is not like the shipping industry. We did not see, these are not charter rates where you've seen what's happening on the VLCC or the on the product tanker market where it collapsed. In the offshore, it moves depending on what's the vessel you're chartering. These are not all the same vessel. Some of it are subsea support diving. Some of it is anchor handler. Some of it is construction and maintenance vessels. It's a different range of vessels. And Halul also provides services, not only vessels, with those vessels. It's not like or similar to what's happening in the shipping industry.
Thank you. That's very clear. I only ask because, globally, the outlook for the offshore industry is very promising. And while I don't have data on the Middle East, at least other regions, rates across different vessels have been moving up, especially in the offshore segment. So I just wondered if you're seeing that sort of trend as well in within your portfolio.
Mm. Look, I think the company is really enjoying very, very healthy margins.
Yep.
I think that's due to several reasons, of which it's market positioning, and it's also providing other services.
Thank you.
I don't think I can tell you what's going to happen in the future. The outlook of the offshore industry is what it is. But as I said, this is a portfolio of contracts
portfolio of services that we provide. The company has been enjoying healthy margins. Some of the contracts have been renewed. There will be contracts that will be renewed on higher or lower risk, depending on each situation. I can't guarantee that because of the outlook of the offshore industry that all the contracts will be upward looking. Depends on where does that contract sit from the current market rate.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We now have a question from Naveed Ahmed from Securities and Investment Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. It's Malik from Securities Investment Company. I've got two questions for you. The first question is regarding your rights issue and the subsequent buyback. I'm not sure if I got the logic behind the buyback. My point is that if you've got investment securities lying idle and if you're going to use that funds to buy back shares, why would you want to go ahead with the rights issue in the first place? You could divest your investment securities and fund those non-core investments to fund your acquisitions. The second point is that I'm a bit confused with your overall strategy in the sense that you're present in many sectors from real estate, investments, and now you're telling us that you hope to acquire a few more businesses. I mean, where are you heading in the next 2 to 3 years? What would Qatar Navigation look like in terms of strategy? How will you view all these businesses together? And thirdly, you have made a provision on your, I believe your AFS portfolio. It's not a very big provision, but I was wondering what really caused the impairment in the AFS portfolio. Thanks.
Let's go to your questions, Wimper, and thank you for asking those questions. I think just to go back on what I said, the company, the board of the company, sees that the investments in the financial investments and the real estate investments are a form of a reserve portfolio that they use to try to live throughout the cyclicality of the shipping industry, and they do not wish to deploy those funds in the shipping industry because that would defeat the purpose. We don't use them as a collateral to acquire assets in the shipping industry. We don't directly use them to fund any acquisitions or assets in the shipping industry. They're a reserve portfolio. So when I said that we will use those funds to fund the repurchase program, that's in a way viewed as a temporary investment to support those levels of the valuations, because the market does not see what we see as management of the company and how the company is expected to perform in the future and send the right messages to the people, and also create an opportunity for the shareholders who would like to exit in a fair way. But ultimately, those funds are expected to return back to the reserve bucket, to the reserve investment portfolio that the company generally uses to counter the cyclicality of the shipping industry. Proceeds from the rights issue will be used, as I said, to fund core business acquisitions in assets or companies. It will not be used to acquire businesses, to accumulate a portfolio of businesses. I think I was very clear about this. We are targeting to use the proceeds from the rights issue to acquire assets, either in the maritime logistics or in the shipping areas. So if we acquire a company that's in the shipping industry or in whichever discipline of that, or a logistics company, that's part of our core business. And those funds, in addition to the funds that we're lining up to those acquisitions, will be together used or deployed into those acquisitions. Yes, that may not necessarily be the typical rationale in Wall Street, but in light of the situation that we have, where you have to maintain a certain investment reserve portfolio, this is one way to be able to meet the different objectives of the shareholders and the direction of the board, and as well as funding the growth potential of the company and the unique positioning at the moment it has. As for your question on the provisions on the investments, these investments have already been marked to market previously and over the past many years. These investments have been done several years ago, at least 4 or 5 years ago, if not more. They've been marked to market in our balance sheet. And the management felt that because of the deterioration of the valuations of these investments, we needed to reflect them on the P&L of the company. But the economic value has already been reflected in the past in the balance sheet and in the valuation reserve. Does that answer your question?
Yes. Yeah, just one sub-question. So if you intend to maintain the investment portfolio, so whatever the funds which is used to buy back shares, so going forward, there will be a reversal of this buyback, is it?
Yes, ultimately. Oh, yeah. There are two directions for that. Either we do that or we reduce the capital of the company. As per the QFMA, Financial Market Authority here, we cannot hold these treasury stocks forever.
Yeah, but do you get what I mean? If you're trying to cancel the capital, it's almost as if you're doing a rights issue, right? So you might as well reduce the rights issue.
Yeah, but our objective is not to do that. Our objective is to bridge the gap between what the uninformed shareholder or analyst who's following the company and what we know the growth potential of the company. Until such time, I think we can easily and safely release those in the market where the value would have been much clearer to the users or to the shareholders and the followers of the company.
All right.
As a final reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. As we have no further questions, I would like now to turn the call back over to Keith Whitney for any closing or additional remarks.
Great. Thanks, Camilla. Just in closing, everyone, I just want to say that the presentation that Sammy went over on today's call is located on the Milaha website. And you can find it right there. And I just wanted to send a special thanks to Mohammed and Sammy for giving us a fairly comprehensive overview of Milaha and the way forward. And I particularly want to thank all the investors on the call today. And any specific questions, you can direct those directly to Mohammed at Milaha. And thanks, everybody, and have a terrific afternoon.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.